Hare Krishna. I am very grateful to be with you today. I feel like I am at the moment being bombarded by unlimited merciful glances. Thank you for being here. Just last night, before I boarded an airplane from Mumbai, India, I was at a program with His Holiness Jaipatak Swami Maharaj. I'd like to say something about him. Just to show how the spirit of Srila Prabhupada has so much infused the lives of many of those devotees who love him. In October, he was stroked by the merciful hand of Krishna with a stroke. In the section of the brain called the brain stem. Recently, or a couple months ago, a neurosurgeon from America, one of the top, said anyone who has the type of stroke that he has, he said, I've never seen anyone survive. In fact, Jaipatak Maharaj's own doctor said there was not even 1% chance that he could possibly live. And if he does, nobody knows what condition he could be. But somehow or other, he's alive. And not only is he alive, but he's so eager to share Krishna consciousness with others. When he, not long after he came out of critical condition, I was just coming from Delhi, and I was in a car from the Bombay airport to our temple, Radha Gopinath Temple, and I got a phone call, and it was somebody from Bhaktivedanta Hospital who said, Jaipatak Maharaj is wondering if he could come 2 Sundays from now to give the Sunday lecture. And I said, of course, we would be most honored to have him. And then I decided to tell a joke. I got on the phone with him, and he asked if he could come, and I said, we'd love to have you. And then I told this joke. I said, in fact, that's 2 Sundays from now, but next Sunday is our Pune Yatra. There'll be 4,500 people there. Why don't you give the Sunday lecture there too? And he started laughing really hard. So I thought it was a good joke. But then after he laughed for real hard, and I heard everybody in the room with him laughing also very hard, then he said, do you really want me to come? I said, Maharaj, whatever is good for your health. And he said, 4,500 devotees will be there? I said, yes. And then we changed the subject, and we were talking some other things. And then he interrupted and he said, how far is Pune? I said, it's about 4 hours each way. That means 8 hours round trip. He said, that's too far. I said, I think it's too far. And we talked about some other things. And then he interrupted again. He said, the doctors would never allow me to do that. So I said, I don't think so either. And we kept talking. And then he said, but the doctors are your followers. If you tell them I should go, then they have to let me go. And I said, Maharaj, whatever is best for your health is the only consideration. So I never said anything to anyone. That was the end. But then the day before I was leaving for the Pune Yatra, the director of Bhaktivedanta Hospital called me on the phone. He said, ever since that phone call, every day, he's pushing us to let him go to the Pune Yatra. And he said, all of his caretakers and all of the local doctors are all telling him it's not good for his health. He should not go, but he keeps pushing. So finally, just to end this, to just end the matter, we went to the senior most neurosurgeon who was handling his case, and said, whatever he says, you know, we have to accept. So they asked the senior most neurosurgeon, if he can take this 8-hour drive, Pune and back, and preach to 4,500 devotees when he's still in a wheelchair and he's still really very, very incapacitated. And the doctor said, he shocked everyone. He said, that will be the best thing for him. And the doctors asked, why? How is it the best thing for him? He said, because what's going to help him heal the most is if he's happy. And he's a saint. He's a preacher. What makes him happy is giving Krishna to others. And this doctor's not a devotee. He's not a devotee at all. He said, what makes him happy is giving Krishna to others, giving bhakti to others. So if this makes him happy, this is what will be good for him. This is Srila Prabhupada's spirit. Paradukaduki. A devotee's happiness is seeing other people happy. And real happiness is seeing other people receiving Krishna, loving Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote one prayer where he explains when, what is that? There's a song about Narada Muni where he's talking about how Narada Muni's making everybody chant and everyone dance and everyone loving Krishna and everyone's chanting. And he said, when that day comes, that will be my happiness. To see everyone chanting the holy names, everyone with tears of love of God in their eyes, that will be my happiness. To give Krishna to others. So then he actually came. They had to make this whole, they brought him in the back of an ambulance through all the Bombay traffic, the Bombay-Pune highway, all the way to the Muffatlal bungalow in Pune. He came there, he got there at night, spoke. Then the next morning, He gave a 1.5 hour Srimad Bhagavatam class. He's on a wheelchair. Most of his body doesn't work. His speech is really like, especially at that time, he couldn't speak very well. He could only, every sentence he would speak, somebody who kind of understood him had to repeat him so that we could understand him. And that, you know, there were like fluids and liquids coming out of different parts of his face, and there had to be always somebody wiping him and spraying water in his mouth because it was dry. And it really was, for any person, it would be really an embarrassing situation to sit in front of almost 5,000 people in that state with people wiping you and spraying and picking you up. And but he was absolutely oblivious to all that. He was just completely blissful to talk about Krishna. I remember years ago I went to see one of Prabhupada's godbrothers who was in his late 90s. He was laying on a bed, and his disciples said, nobody's allowed to see him because he can't, you know, he's very sick and very indisposed. But they said, but he wants, he said he's happy to see you. So I came in with a few other devotees. And he was just laying there. And he spoke Krishna Katha for 3 hours to us. Till late at night. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, this is how he imbibed that spirit of giving Krishna to others and his disciples. Srila Prabhupada, after heart attacks, after strokes, after so many situations, wandering around the world 14 times, and we've all seen that video where he's in his last days in Vrindavan laying in bed, and His Holiness Jayadvaita Maharaj has a dictaphone to his mouth and he's dictating purports to Srimad Bhagavatam. The spirit of compassion of the Vaishnavas is so deep and so sublime. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took sannyas just so that he could give Krishna to the people who were the most proud and the most envious. In fact, this year, I was recently during the GBC meetings, I happened to be invited to Calcutta to a big event. Have any of you heard about this event? Please raise your hand if you heard about this event. Just to see if you're awake, raise your hand if you have not heard about this event. Thank you, thank you. Very rare souls. It was an event where all different mats and sampradayas and spiritual movements were all coming together to celebrate the anniversary of the 500th year that Lord Chaitanya became a sannyasi. It's actually, the actual day is this coming up this next month of Magh of 2010. But the celebration begins the year before and it goes on until that day. So there was this big mat with thousands and thousands and thousands of people and hundreds of swamis and sadhus and all these people all to celebrate Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas. And they asked me to speak. So I was trying to share what we heard from Srila Prabhupada, how Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was living in Navadvip, he inundated millions of people with Krishna Prem through Krishna Nam. He was manifesting his spiritual potencies in the most inconceivable ways. When the Chankazi outlawed Nam Sankirtan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu attracted hundreds and thousands and millions of people just through one order. Can you imagine his potency? He just said, "Everyone, Nityananda Prabhu, tell everyone in Navadvip, tell all my devotees to spread the news that today in the afternoon I will personally dance and lead the Nam Sankirtan through the streets of Navadvip, right to the house of Chankazi, and have everyone come and bring a torch." Millions of people assembled. Each one had torches. They all made their own torches. Can you imagine the potency? Just one person giving a word, and in a couple hours there's a million people assembled. Enthusiastic. And they were fearless to do Nam Sankirtan to the house of Chankazi. Most of us would probably say, "Well, I don't know if I want to go on that Sankirtan party." He was beating people, plundering people. Anybody who he heard chanting the Lord's names, he was beating them, imprisoning them, plundering their property. It was really scary. He had soldiers out harassing devotees. Devotees were fearless. That was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. On another occasion, he went right to Ramkeli, where the king, who hated Hindus, Nawab Hussain Shah, and he had thousands and thousands and thousands of people chanting there. And the king, he asked one of his servants, "What is all that noise out there?" And he said, "It's this sannyasi. I've never seen anyone like him. I've seen a lot of sadhus and holy men and everybody coming to Ramkeli, but never anybody like this." The king said, "Tell me, what about?" He was very interested. He was really a cruel person. Said that any devotee, if a breeze touched that king and then touched them, they would immediately jump in the Ganges with all their clothes, because he was so cruel and so murderous. He said to sannyasi, "He has a beautiful golden complexion. He's very tall. His hands, they extend below his knees. His eyes are like lotus flowers. His nose is like a sesame flower. His lips are like rubies. His teeth are like jasmine flowers. His neck is like a lion. His chest is broad. His waist is thin. He's in saffron sannyasi robes. His head is shaved. There's garlands around his neck. But you've never seen anyone like this. When he chants the names of Lord Hari, there are torrents of tears flowing from his eyes like rivers. His limbs are trembling. His hairs are standing on end. Sometimes he leaps in the air and falls to the ground, and it seems like he's going to break the earth. But the amazing thing is he has millions and millions of people weeping and chanting and dancing, and they'll do anything and everything for him." Then he called Keshava Khan, who was a devotee. He said, "I want to know who is this Swami who's come to our town." And Keshava Khan knew that he hated Hindus. He was thinking, I better not tell him. He said, what, Swami? He said, I heard there's a very influential person attracting many people. He said, no, this is all rumors. He said, he's just an ordinary sadhu, so many, like any other sadhu. He's got a few followers, don't even think about him. He's just an ordinary person. Vinayabhu Sayan Shah said, what? Such an offense you're making? You're calling him an ordinary person? He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the one God of all gods. And you're calling him an ordinary person? Why are you committing such an offense? And then he gave from his perception how he understood he was God. You see, everybody has their own perceptions of reality and their own value systems and their own ways of evaluating things. He said, this Swami has millions of people who are following him everywhere, who will do absolutely anything that he says at any time, and he doesn't pay them a single paisa. He doesn't pay him anything. And he's just a sannyasi. I'm the king. I am the crown king with armies and palaces. And I can't get anybody to do anything for me unless I pay them. So he must be God to have this influence. So this is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then he said, I hereby make a rule that no one ever in my city of Ramkeli will ever obstruct his Nam Sankirtan. Hare Krishna. When he was in Navadvip, he had such influence. But then that incident took place. There was always envious people who were always criticizing him, saying he was a madman, saying he was spoiling the whole Hindu culture. He was accepting untouchables and embracing them and giving importance to them. He was singing these, screaming these loud names of God when they're supposed to just be silent mantras that you chant. He was accusing Lord Chaitanya, Srivas Thakur, and all the associates that the reason they're in that house of Srivas all night and they don't let us in is because during the day they look for young, beautiful, virgin girls. Then at night they bring them in that house. They make them drink strong intoxications, and then they exploit them. And meanwhile, as part of the experience, they're screaming all these songs and dancing. And they were spreading this all around. And people were believing them. Hare Krishna. But the common, the innocent people, they were just longing to see Lord Chaitanya dance, to receive his mercy. So he was spreading his influence so greatly. He had everything. And then, one day he was sitting in his house, in the mood of the gopis, chanting gopi, gopi, gopi. And one of his students, a smart Brahmin, he said, why are you saying gopi, gopi, gopi? Where in the scripture does it say gopi, gopi, gopi? You're supposed to chant the names of Hari, Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya, in the mood of gopi, out of love, he was expressing the highest love. He said, Krishna? You want me to chant the name of Krishna? Why Krishna? That woman approached Krishna, Suparnaka, and he had her nose and ears cut off. And Bali, the monkey, He shot him in the back when he wasn't even looking and killed him. And Bali Maharaj, he surrendered everything, and then he just wanted to give in charity to Krishna, and Krishna took everything away from him, then tied him up and imprisoned him. You want me to chant the name of Krishna? And he picked up a stick and started chasing the boy, and the boy ran away. And he came to an assembly of other students, and they said, "What's wrong?" "I can't even tell you what's wrong. That Nimai, he tried to beat me just because I told him to chant the names of Krishna." He was doing this gopi. And they all started conspiring against him. Who does he think he is? We're Brahmins. Does he think we're not learned Brahmins? Does he not think that our fathers are not great pundits? He thinks he's so much better than us. If he ever does something like this again, we're going to tie him up and beat him. So Lord Chaitanya, one day, he said to the devotees, he said, "I have come with the medicine Pipalikanda in order to cure a disease. But what I find is the disease is getting worse." And then he smiled. And the devotees didn't know exactly what is he talking about. But Nityananda Prabhu in his heart thought, "My Lord is going to take sannyas." And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Lord Nityananda, "We have come in a private place." He said, "We have come to deliver the most fallen souls. We've brought the medicine. But what we found is our coming has increased their disease. If they follow what I say, they will be delivered. But if they offend me, they will be destroyed. So for the sake of those who are offending me, because they think I'm an ordinary man like the rest of them, I will take sannyas. And then they will bow down to me, their hearts will open, and they will receive my message and be delivered." And he told the devotees, some of them, it was unbearable. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he said, "Whatever you decide to do, my Lord, you know, you must do, but please tell the other devotees and discuss it with them also." And then thinking of Sachi Devi, his mother, how she will suffer, Lord Nityananda Prabhu sat in a secluded place and incessantly cried. It is a long story. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his mother was pleading with him, "Why don't you stay home? You have everything here. How could anyone leave a mother like Sachi?" Her love was so deep, so absolutely unconditional. And Lord Chaitanya Nimai was her everything. There is a story, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, where one day little Nimai, when he was just a student, he said, "Mother, I want to go to the Ganges. Please give me some sandalwood pulp and a garland." So Sachi Mata's mother had to make the garland and then grind the sandalwood. So she said, she just dropped everything and she said, "I'll have it for you in a few minutes." And Nimai said, "A few minutes?" That was outrageous. "I want it now. A few minutes." And he picked up a stick and destroyed everything within their house. They were just a simple Brahmin family. He broke all the clay pots with ghee, broke all the clay pots with butter and yogurt and spices. Just everything was just splattered all over the floor. Then he started beating the walls and the windows and the door. Then he went outside and started beating trees. Then he started beating the earth. Then he laid down and took rest. And Sachi Devi, she went and just immediately made a garland and grinded sandalwood. And as soon as Nimai woke up, she was right there fanning him and wiping the dust and the perspiration off his body. And she said, "Here is your garland and here is your sandalwood, my beloved Nimai." And he just got up and went to the Ganga and worshipped her, took his bath, worshipped her with garland and chandan. And he came back. And she very lovingly said to him, "Nimai, I don't mind that you destroyed the house. But it's your house. Where are you going to stay without a nice house? And I don't mind if you destroyed every morsel of food that we had in the house. But I want to feed you, and now I have nothing to feed you. Whatever you do, whatever makes you happy is fine, but how will you eat? We have nothing left." This is Sachi Devi. Have you ever met a mother like that? She didn't scold him. "What did you do? I worked so hard for him." No, it was only about him. Her whole life, her whole soul, her everything was only to make him happy. She had no other consideration for anything except his happiness. And she pleaded with Lord Chaitanya when she heard the rumors that he may take sannyas. She said, "Your elder brother Vishwarup, when he was only a teenager, he left home and took sannyas, and I've never heard from him again. And then your father, he gave up his body and went back to Vaikuntha. I have nothing and no one except you. If you leave me, I cannot survive. Please, tell me that you're going to do it so that I can take poison or drown myself in the Ganges and die so I don't have to live to see you leaving home like this." You've come to teach religious principles. Is this religious principle? You have a wife that's hardly 14 or 16 years old. She's given her life and soul to you. Are you going to make her a widow? And what about all your friends? How will they survive? Just be happy. You have everything. There's no restrictions. You can stay out all night, every night, anything you want to do. Be with Srivas and be with Advaita and be with Gadadhar and be with Nityananda. Nityananda is your brother, your best friend. Just chant and dance and talk about Krishna, but stay in Navadvip, stay at home. You'll kill all of us if you leave. And the Lord's heart is only for the happiness of his devotees. Why did he do that? Is it cruel? On that night, around the time of Makar Sankranti, in the month of Magh, toward the end of the night, he left. Simply because it provided him the opportunity to give love for Krishna to the proud, to the envious, to the offensive, and to people all over who he had no access to in Navadvipa. It was an act of compassion. The ultimate act of compassion. Lochan Das Thakur prays, Parama Karuna Pahundui Jan Nitai Goda Chandra Tava Avatara Sarasiromani Kevala Ananda Kanda. That this Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they are Parama Karuna. They are supremely merciful. They are the essence of all avatars. They're giving the highest thing through the easiest process. Kevala Ananda Kanda. What in Satya Yuga, 60,000 years of total celibacy, absorption in meditation on the form of the Lord in a secluded holy place, severe fasting. That's what you had to do in Satya Yuga to get love of God. In Treta Yuga, perfectly executed yajnas. Sometimes you have to do them practically your whole life. In Dwarpa Yuga, by meticulous precision, deity worship, regulative principles, absolute regulation. The same result and more is in this Kali Yuga, simply by chanting the holy names. Something anyone can do. Kevala Ananda Kanda. It's joyful. Some of you are listening to this lecture thinking, when will the kirtan start? And as others are thinking, when will they serve prasad? Kevala Ananda Kanda. Prabhupada said, chanting, dancing and feasting. And you can also, you know, speak about Krishna also. But the primary focus is chanting, dancing and feasting. So simple. And namo mahabharanyaya Krishna prema padayate Krishnaya Krishna chaitanya namane godatveshe namaha. That of all the various avatars of Krishna, the Absolute Truth, Lord Chaitanya is the most munificent, the most merciful, because he's giving the highest revelation of the Absolute Truth. He's giving the love of the gopis in Vrindavan for Shamsundar, Gokula Ananda. Just chant holy names and have develop a nice service attitude and you will become perfect. Yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas as the greatest act of compassion. Just to show the world how he was willing to give of himself for the welfare of others. And of course, those associates, Vishnupriya, she never saw him again. But Lord Chaitanya sent her a deity of himself. And she was absorbed in the highest ecstasies of love and separation, worshiping that deity. She lived the rest of her life chanting all day. She would get rice, and she would chant a mantra, and then put a piece of rice, grain of rice, and at the end of the day she would have a pile of rice. Every one of those grains she chanted the Maha Mantra on. Like we use japa beads, she says, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And she was chanting in such pure love, in such deep, intense fire of separation. Then she would cook that rice at the end of the day and offer it to Lord Gauranga's deity. Can you imagine how that tasted? She's an expansion of Srimati Radharani. She's the eternal consort of the Lord. She put all of her love, all of her heart into chanting, into every grain. Then she cooked it with love and devotion. Then she offered it with love and devotion. Then she would just take a small portion of it, and that's how she survived. So yes, the Lord reciprocated, just as Krishna left Vrindavan and gave the residents of Vrindavan the highest love in separation. Lord Chaitanya gave to his devotees in Navadvipa. But so much to chase after the people who were rejecting him since time immemorial. That is the compassion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He went to Puri by the will of his mother. And after being in Puri just for a short time, he said, I'm going to South India to look for Vishwaroop, my brother. Actually, he was going to deliver everyone. And one of the first places he stopped was in Kurukshetra. This is interesting, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took sannyas to show compassion to others, but what did he teach other people? He gave different instructions to different devotees. Just like when we read Srila Prabhupada's books or when we read his letters, Prabhupada speaks so many things. It's so deep and so broad. And when we study Srila Prabhupada's life, Prabhupada was such an ocean of compassion. And he always presented the pure Siddhanta, but he presented it in different ways and guided people according to how it would uplift them and how they could best ultimately become purified, develop love of Krishna, and serve. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, do not marry. Told him to go to Vrindavan and join the Sikh and become a Sikh Goswami. Yes. In South India, he saw Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He said, serve your parents till they leave this world. Don't marry. As soon as they leave, go to Vrindavan. Become a Sikh Goswami. He didn't use those words, but that was the principle of what he said. But when he went to Kurukshetra, he went to that deity of Kurmadev. Srila Prabhupada in this regard explains how Ramanujacharya was once in Jagannath Puri. And he saw how they were worshipping the deity of Jagannath in their own unusual ways. Not according to the scriptures, according to their own traditions. And Ramanujacharya was compassionate. He said, I want to establish the proper rules and regulations here. And he went to sleep. And Lord Jagannath, in a dream, said, I like the way my devotees are worshiping here. Why are you interfering? And he picked him up in the dream and threw him. And he woke up and he was several hundred miles away from Puri in a place called Kurukshetra. And there he saw this deity. And he thought it was Lord Shiva, so he started to fast. But then he found out it was Kurma, and he had a big feast. So, to just different ways of worshiping the Lord. So since that time, the followers of Ramanujacharya are worshiping the Kurma deity according to their Shastric regulations. And Lord Chaitanya went there. Have any of you been to Kurma Kshetra? Please raise your hand. A few years ago, we went on a yatra with many, many devotees there. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing and chanting, and thousands and thousands and thousands of people from all these villages from all around were joining him. They were struck with wonder just to see the beauty of the Lord. And when they heard him chanting, their hearts just erupted with enthusiasm, and they all began to chant the holy names, and soon they were all pure devotees, lovers of Krishna. And one Brahmin called Kurma Brahmin saw this and was mystified. When the kirtan ended, he fell at Lord Chaitanya's feet and said, "Please come to my home, bless my home." And Lord Chaitanya went to the simple Brahmin's home. And then he washed Lord Chaitanya's feet and sprinkled the water on all his family members, and then drank it, and then served it for everyone else to drink. Sat the Lord down, and he offered prayers. He said, "Today, you have come to my home. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the greatest demigods and the greatest sages are trying to meditate on your lotus feet, and today those same lotus feet have come right into my house. I cannot calculate my unlimited good fortune. Today my life, my family, my wealth, all my forefathers, my entire existence have become purified and perfect because you have come to my home to accept my service." Srila Prabhupada explains, from this we can understand that this Brahmin was actually quite wealthy. And then he revealed his mind. He said, "My Lord, I can no longer tolerate the miseries of the waves in this ocean of material existence. The waves of suffering that are coming on this ocean of material existence. I have decided to give it all up. I am going to renounce my occupation, renounce my family, and follow you wherever you go. Does that sound good?" If it sounds good, say Hari Bol. Lord Chaitanya disagrees with you. He got angry. He said, "Never say that again." He said, "You remain home, you remain with your family, you remain in their occupation. There's no need for you to leave home. You just chant the holy names of Krishna. Teach people the message of Krishna. And in this way," Lord Chaitanya said, "become guru throughout the land." He said, "If you simply chant the names of Krishna, speak the message of Krishna according to my will," he said, "I will never leave you. I will always be with you wherever you are." And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explained, this is the message Lord Chaitanya gave to everyone wherever he went in his South Indian tour. No need to change your status. Just change your heart by hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord and living according to the service mood of the Lord. He spent the night doing Krishna Katan, Krishna Kirtan. The next morning he left, and the Kurma Brahmin followed him. Couldn't give up the Lord's association. after some distance, Lord Chaitanya looked at him and said, "Go back home. I've already explained these things to you." And he sent him home, and Lord Chaitanya went on. Meanwhile, there was Vasudev, who had leprosy. So bad leprosy that his body was filled with living worms. And if a worm fell out of his body, he would carefully pick it up, offered all honor and respect, and stick it back in his body. Why? He was so humble. He was thinking, this body belongs to the worm as much as it belongs to me. Why should I deprive it? He heard about Lord Chaitanya, and with great effort, because he was a very severely diseased man, he somehow or other walked a distance to get to the Kurma Brahmin's house. And when he found out Lord Chaitanya had already left, he fell to the ground unconscious. But the Lord, who is seated in everyone's heart, knew this. Even though he was a distance away, he turned around and came back to that house and lifted up Vasudev and embraced him. Vasudev was shocked. His body had pus and blood and oozing disease coming out of it, and worms. He said, "My Lord, no one will even come near me because I smell so bad. I'm so full of disease. And you have touched me. You have embraced me." This was the nature of the Lord's compassion. And when the Lord squeezed him, all the leprosy went away and all the worms went away. What happened to all the worms? Doesn't say. But from understanding Lord Chaitanya's mercy, they probably all went back to Godhead. Just because they were associating with a great devotee like Vasudev. Lord Chaitanya sent dogs back to Godhead because they were dear to Srivas Thakur. Amoga, who was an offensive, envious person, went back to Godhead because he got love of God because he was an associate, a relative of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So the Lord completely purified and cured Vasudev and gave him love of God. But Vasudev didn't say anything, but in his heart he was thinking that he may become proud, that everyone just completely rejected me for being so totally abominable for all these years, and now they see that I'm beautiful. I have a golden complexion. Now I'm going to become famous. What if I become proud? If I become proud, nothing I do will be pleasing to the Lord. Because the Lord is bhavagrahi. He accepts our consciousness. If we have false pride, the world may think we're a great devotee. But Krishna will think very little of whatever we do. It's the humble service attitude. In whatever we do, it is the humble service attitude that pleases the Lord. Nothing else. Lord Chaitanya could understand what he was thinking, and he gave him the same instruction. Just chant Hare Krishna. Speak the message of Krishna to others. And you have no, Krishna will always protect you from false pride. In fact, he will protect you from all impediments. In this regard, I'm going to end with a beautiful statement I've recently read from Srila Prabhupada. It really encapsulates the essence of what Prabhupada expected of us. Can you all hear? Okay, so please listen carefully. This is in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami is telling how pure devotional service is very rare. Why is it so rare? He says, Krishna will easily give liberation, mukti. Now, for most of us, you know, mukti, complete freedom from material desires, complete freedom from material sufferings, complete freedom from birth and death. Does that sound easy? What do you think? Then why does Lord Chaitanya say that Krishna will give mukti very easily? Because compared to pure devotional service, he gives it very easily. And he'll give mystic cities very easily. That means to make your body just go to another place instantly. Just like if you want to go to London, instead of going through all the traffic and getting all kinds of harassment from all living entities on the way, you just go, Om London, and then you're just there. It's a mystic city. If you want to go to Bombay, well, why would you want to go to Bombay? If you want to go to Badrinath in the Himalayas, you just sit in your house in Heathrow. What is it? Heathford. What is it? In Watford. Om Badrinath. And then you just open your eyes and you're in the Himalayas under a Badri tree covered with snow. That's Mystic City. You want a pomegranate fresh from a tree in Kabul, Afghanistan? You don't get too many pomegranates from Afghanistan these days. But you just, Afghanistan. Pomegranate. And then you open your eyes and it's in your hand, a nice fresh pomegranate. This is Mystic Cities. Very powerful. You could read people's minds. I don't know if I'd like to do that, though. That would be very disturbing. Somebody comes up to you and says, oh, Prabhu, so nice. And you think, well, I wonder what he really wants. And you just go, oh. Actually, you hear his mind, I hate you. You think that's easy to do all those things? But here it says, Krishna gives it very easy, all the eight mystic cities. And elevation to heavenly planets, Krishna gives that very easily. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana sudurlabha prasantatma kotishvapi mahamuni. And even people who have mukti, and even people who have siddhis, and even people who have elevation to upper planets, none of them are really peaceful. Narayana parayana, only a person who loves the Lord can be really peaceful, because only that person is in the natural condition. So pure devotional service is very rare. And why does Krishna give it so rarely? Because Krishna is conquered by the love of his devotee. Krishna is willing to voluntarily, by his own sweet will, subordinate himself to the love of his devotee. And Krishna will not accept that position very easily. He'll only give it to someone who deeply, deeply wants it. Someone who is Trinadapi Sunichena, humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, ready to offer all respect to others, and has no desire for respect for oneself. Someone who is really in the mood of being the servant of the servant of the servant. Someone who has lobha, who has greed to hear the glories of the Lord, to chant the glories of the Lord as an expression of love for the Lord. A person who is paradukaduki, a person who really sees God in everyone's heart and wants to serve them at any cost. Lord Chaitanya told many things to his devotees to show how he's subordinate to their love. Vasudev Dutt prayed for the benediction that let all the sins and all the karma of every living entity in the entire universe fall on my head because my heart breaks to see them suffer. Let them all go back to Godhead and let me suffer perpetually hellish conditions for their sake. Who could possibly pray like that with all sincerity? But because of that spirit of compassion, which is such a high level of love for the Lord, in the Srimad Bhagavatam it tells that in the story of Lord Shiva drinking poison, that the greatest service that pleases the Lord the most is to take on to accept hardships to show compassion to others. Lord Chaitanya told about Vasudev Dutt. When he heard Vasudev Dutt's prayer, he cried. To make the Supreme Lord cry? And his limbs trembled, and his voice was choked up. This is not astonishing for you to ask this. You are Prahlad Maharaj. And on several occasions, Lord Chaitanya said about Vasudev Dutt, I am Vasudev Dutt's property. He can sell me anywhere he wants. And wherever he sells me, I am sold. Now please think about this. Where in history is there an example of one human being selling another human being? Only if there is slavery. Yes? Slaves are bought and sold. No matter what I think about you, I can't sell you. But a slave, he can sell you, I can buy you. In America, Rupa Vilas Prabhu and I, we lived through the 1950s and 60s. America came out of slavery. There was an entire war to fight to abolish slavery. It was called the Civil War. Half of the nation wanted to keep slaves, and half considered it was a violation to human rights. There was a massive, bloody war to end slavery. More Americans were killed in that war, the Civil War, than World War I or World War II. The bloodiest, most deaths of any war was Americans killing each other. And that was one of the reasons, prominent reason, to end slavery. But still, there wasn't rights. And Martin Luther King, he died to give rights to his people, the African American people. And Mahatma Gandhi in India, he considered that the British were treating Indians like slaves. So he made a whole uprising to free his people. So nobody wants to be a slave. There's only one person who longs to be a slave. Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's saying, my devotee Vasudev Dutt, he said the same thing about Paramananda Puri. He said the same thing about Haridas Thakur. He said, I am a prisoner in their hearts. Does anyone want to be a prisoner? Only Krishna. He wants to be a prisoner. He wants to be a slave to his devotee. That is how the Lord is willing to subordinate himself, to be a slave and a prisoner under the power of the love of his devotee. Although he's a big Yeswarat, he's all-knowing and he's completely independent. To the gopis, you know, he called them with his flute on the full moon night of Sarat season. They all left their homes, abandoned everything, came to the Bamsivat tree in the forest of Sri Vrindavan. And then Krishna started, why don't you go home? You shouldn't be here. You've already seen the nice moonlight and the nice forest, and you've seen me. Now go home. You have your duties. And then he disappeared from them. And ultimately, they were just roaming and roaming and in deep separation. And then finally, when he appeared again, they asked, you know, why did you do that? And Lord Krishna said that even in an entire lifetime of Brahma, I have no power to repay you for your love for me. He's saying, I am eternally your debtor, in debt to you. I cannot repay you for your love. This is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving the world, this love. So it's very rare that Krishna gives such a love. But then Srila Prabhupada in his purport, he gives us unlimited hope. And this message I'm about to cite of Srila Prabhupada was so much the main theme of so many of his lectures and so many of his teachings. It's a divine secret. Would you like to hear it? Srila Prabhupada explains in this purport that pure devotional service is very rare. He says, but if a devotee is sincere, serious, and without ulterior motives, Krishna will easily give it to that devotee. Please repeat after me. If a devotee is sincere, serious, and without ulterior motives, Krishna will easily give pure devotional service.
Krishna will easily give pure devotional service.
For anyone. Grihe tako, vane tako, sadahari pole tako. Whether one is a grihastha or a brahmacharya or a sannyasi, whether one is educated or uneducated, rich or poor, low caste or high caste, whether one is black or white or red or yellow or green, whether one is of any particular status of society. He was even giving it to tigers and elephants and lions and snakes and mosquitoes. Krishna could give pure devotional service to anyone immediately. And he gives it easily if we just have these qualities. That we're sincere, we're serious, and we do not have ulterior motives. Krishna easily gives devotional service. If we are simply living by these principles, what does it really mean to be sincere and serious? It really means to take the order of the spiritual master of our life and soul without ulterior motives. To be simple. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that the first principle that makes a Vaishnava is simplicity, which means without duplicity, which means without ulterior motives. This is what we should be striving for. To be an instrument of that love that Lord Chaitanya has brought to the world, that Srila Prabhupada has spread throughout the world, that Srila Jaipatak Maharaj was willing to drive 8 hours just after a stroke to share with the people of Pune. And he was in ecstasy. And when he got back to Bombay, he was actually much better than ever before in his health, because he was so happy giving Krishna to others. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shall we have kirtan?
Jai.